What is going on, my real estate investing friends? I wanted to jump in here and tell you thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I seriously hope that it brings you an insane amount of value in order for you to be able to crush it in your marketing for your active real estate investing business. This show is specifically here to educate real estate investors on amping up their marketing. So more than likely, if you're listening to this show, you are either already an active investor or you're wanting to jump in, you're doing a little bit of educating for yourself. So if you're either of those and you enjoy this show, you're gonna wanna subscribe to the REI Marketing Weekly Email Newsletter. Yes, I know that's a mouthful, but it is totally worth it because that's where this show kind of derived from. And in that newsletter, it's 100% value content and it's got four segments in each newsletter that goes out every single Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time about crushing it in your real estate investing business marketing. We have segments where I myself give a marketing tip. We have a segment for a marketing update or a how-to. So if there's something that's new on like Facebook or a new algorithm for Google or something like that, we talk about that, or there's a new platform that comes out. We also do a lot of how-tos. And then we have a segment specifically for somebody that is in an active real estate investing business, crushing it in some form of their marketing efforts. And that's where this show comes in. So we're literally stripping the audio from that interview and putting it into this show. So there's that segment on the email newsletter. And then there's a segment specifically for a tool or a resource that you're able to use in your marketing. So in order to get to this, go to colormedia.com/subscribe, colored spelled C-U-L-L-E-R. So colormedia.com/subscribe. Make sure that you do that. Do not miss out on it because it's a great newsletter, 100% value. There's no selling in there. And you guys are going to learn so much from that. It's just an extension of this podcast and for you guys to be able to go deeper into your marketing and get all these little tips here and there that are going to help you stand out in your market. So again, thank you so much for listening to this show. Make sure that you share it around with your friends. I seriously appreciate it. If you do, leave a review if you're able to, and then I hope you enjoy. Let's get started with today's Who's Crushing It segment. Let's go. It's the REI Marketing Weekly, and I'm your host, Josh Culler. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. And today I've got a really special guest on the show. I'm excited to have David Dodge on the show out of St. Louis, Missouri. We were just talking personal friends with some people that are clients of mine as well and good friends of mine. And St. Louis is just such a great market. I mean, I love the people down there, good people. I don't know, maybe you have a different opinion, David, but we'll see. but anyway, so I'm excited to have David Dodge on the show today. We're going to be talking marketing for your active real estate investing business. But honestly, I told him, so typically when we get on the show, guys, we have a very specific direction that we're going, but there's so many things in marketing that David does, and even going over into the influencer stage. So if you guys don't know, he actually just hit 90,000 followers on Instagram. So make sure you go follow him over there. But he does so many different things in marketing. So we're just going to talk marketing and then see where this conversation goes. And then you guys will be the benefactor. You'll get to see the title of the show because it's created after the show. So you already know what we're going to talk about. Right. Anyway, so David, man, I appreciate you spending time here on the show with me today. So it's good to have you, man. Do me a favor. And for those people who don't know who you are, introduce yourself and who you are, what you do, and just a little bit of the origin story of David Dodge.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be on the show, Josh, yeah. And it's good to connect with you some more. I've mm-hmm. only met you a few times, but I'm looking forward to doing some business with you in the future for sure,
man. Oh, absolutely. Let's do it.
So yeah, my name's David Dodge. I'm a St. Louis guy. This is where I was born and raised. So by default, I still live here. And I do a lot of traveling. I'm not in love with the St. Louis city. Like you had said, Josh, there's good people here by all means, but we don't have any mountains or we don't have any oceans nearby. So I do a lot of traveling. But
you and I both live on the same pancake, right?
That's right. However, I do all my investing in St. Louis because it's an incredible market to do investing in terms of wholesaling, fix and flip, and rental property landlording. So I have all three of those businesses that we operate. And of course I have partners, guys. I am not a one man show. I don't suggest anybody try to build a sizable business by themselves. It is very difficult. But if you get partners and you can delegate, and we like to say we divide and conquer. You know, there's no reason for three people to go walk through a property. One or two of us can go. The rest of the group can be focusing on other things. So that's kind of who I am and, you know, why or where I'm from. I've been investing for 15 years, Josh. I was telling you a second ago, but I'll say it again here for those who weren't listening to our private conversation. The first 10 years of my investing approach was very passive, very, very passive. I was buying maybe one or two or even zero rental properties a year. For the first 10 years, I was buying retail via an agent off of the MLS, typically properties that were rent ready or very close to it. I wasn't doing much rehabbing in the first 10 years. And I was basically just buying properties because I wanted to park cash. I was getting 80% financing and putting down the 20%. And again, I was maybe getting about one a year on average. I think after 10 years, I had 11 rentals, which is great. You know, by all means, yeah. That's awesome. But that was the first 10 years. So I've been investing for 15 going on 16. So the last 5 years, I have not bought a property retail since. I learned about wholesaling. I learned about motivated sellers. And I learned about marketing. And in the last 5 years, I have purchased over 400 properties. And not a single one of them has been at or even near retail. So we have an extensive marketing budget and plan that we execute daily and weekly to get in front of as many motivated sellers as we can. So we can then buy those properties to do one of three things: fix and flip, keep as a rental, or wholesale those properties off. So that's basically who I am and what I do. I do have a fix and flip business with anywhere between 8 and sometimes as many as 15 properties, you know, being worked on to this day, or as of today, I have 63 doors. Actually, we just sold two. So to be honest, I have 61 doors, not doors, properties, 61 individual properties. The door count's over 70. Wow. And we wholesale anywhere from 6 to 10 deals a month. Now, when we do our marketing, Josh, you had asked me this a minute ago, but I'm going to just kind of repeat it. When we do our marketing, we are not marketing specifically to find wholesale deals. Wholesaling is a job. I love wholesaling. It's an incredible way to make a lot of money very quickly, and it's so incredibly simple. I mean, that's the thing about wholesaling, guys. I'm not saying it's easy. Those are two different things, but the business of wholesaling is incredibly simple. It is so simple, right? So we market to find our self rehabs and find our self rental properties. And we kind of have an in-office motto of keep the best, sell the rest. All right. Less is more. Keep it simple. So the best deals that come in with the biggest spreads, we're going to fix and flip those ourselves. Or if we can get one that has a ton of equity, we will use that in combination with the BRRRR strategy to acquire an asset for little to no money, sometimes even walk away at closing with some money. So we totally, you know, utilize all of these advantages that real estate has to offer. And then we just get a lot of deals that come through from our marketing that we don't want or can't take on. Sometimes we don't have the capacity. So we end up wholesaling those properties out. So when I first started, Josh, I'm going to wrap up because I don't want to talk all day. But when I first started and I learned about motivated sellers and buying off market and buying at a discount, we were a wholesale house and we were doing 10 to 12 deals consistently for about 3 years straight a month. And, you know, about 2 years ago, or not even, man, I'd say about 19 months ago, 18 months ago, me and my partners got together and we're like, man, we're doing pretty well. Like, we're not crushing it, but we're doing pretty good. But this is a job and we don't want to do this forever. We love wholesaling. I'll probably never stop wholesaling. I love wholesale coaching even more than I love wholesaling. But it is a job. And I want to be very transparent about that. I hate when people say, oh, you know, you can get into wholesaling, you can automate everything. Well, you can automate a lot of it with CRMs and softwares and virtual assistants, acquisition managers, maybe even go as far as hiring yourself a COO. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you still have to manage those people and it's a lot of work. Whereas rental properties, once you get that machine lubed and running, it's a lot less work. But even more importantly than the work aspect is the taxation of the income from those two. They're totally different. Earned income is taxed at a very high rate, whereas your passive income is taxed at a very low rate. And Josh, if you don't know why that is, I'll tell you. It's because laws are written by rich people to protect rich people. That's it. Yeah. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to be rude to anyone listening that works at a fast food restaurant. You know, a job's a job. I get it. But my correlation here to the fast food restaurants is you don't see senators or representatives or lawmakers that work at fast food restaurants. They're wealthy people. And it's not fair. I'm not saying that this is the way that it should be, but this is the way that it is. This is the facts. And, you know, whenever you earn money passively through dividends or passive income, you get taxed at a lower rate than you do when you trade your time for your money. So my goal in life, Josh, or I shouldn't say in life, but like my goal in business isn't to make more money. That just means I pay more taxes. It's to create more wealth for myself.
Yep.
So when I wake up every morning, it's not like, oh, I got to go make more money today. Instead, I have the mindset of how do I create more net worth? How do I make the balance sheet look better? Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of where I'm at. So I know that Absolutely. Went long, but that's where I'm at. I'm a nerd when it comes to finance and taxation, but the rules of the game are not fair. And it's unfortunate. Robert Kiyosaki wrote a book called The Unfair Advantage. I think he did. There's multiple people that have written books that name that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But that's the topic of these books, is the unfair advantage. And I am not necessarily saying that I condone it, but I'm not an idiot either. And I'm going to play by the rules that we have in place. And those rules might not be the most fair rules, but they are the rules. So that's the kind of stance that I take on this. I'm going to use leverage with real estate. I'm going to use all of the other things that real estate can help, you know, make my investments great. But also I'm thinking about the end in mind, which is the taxation on the income or the asset itself.
Absolutely. And I think I'm glad you shared all that. I know, guys, most of that wasn't marketing related, but I think that was very needed, especially like we're recording this episode during the third week of March, where this whole coronavirus thing's going down, where, you know, this morning just President Trump announced the closing of the borders for Mexico and Canada and that kind of stuff. So a lot of people are freaking out right now. I'm a part of many, many real estate investing Facebook groups.
Everyone's losing their damn mind. Everybody's losing their mind. Call it like it is. Everyone's losing their damn mind right now. And I get it. And I get it. But this is not going to be a thing in 6 months. I just know it. So I'm keeping my cool.
But what I like too is the fact that, like, just the way you're building everything that you just talked about, you're probably sitting pretty okay right now because you're focused on building wealth and not just bringing in more deals because you have to, because the wholesaling is an active job. So I love it. I'm glad you shared all that. I think that's something that was very much needed for people here right now. Let's go ahead.
That was real big picture. Obviously, let's talk some marketing. That's the goal here. But, you know, I just like to share that because a lot of people, here's the thing. You would think that everyone knows that, right? All those things that I just said. But the truth is that 80% of the listeners don't, or they don't know it to the scope that we just described. Yeah. So it's a good refresher to let people know that, you know, all the things mentioned. So yeah, let's talk some marketing, Josh. Let's talk some marketing.
Absolutely. I'm glad we had that conversation, man, for sure. And then guys, he talks about this stuff on the podcast that he has and a bunch of other places. So we'll have him talk about that at the end. So we'll have all those links below so you can learn more about what Dave's got going on in his brain up there. So one thing, I know the direction I'm going to take this conversation, David. Okay. You mentioned marketing budget, marketing plan.
Yeah, I did.
Those are two things I never hear come out of real estate investors' mouths. Never. I never hear that.
Which is freaking sad.
So let's talk about those two things. So first of all, you know, I have my own opinions and my thoughts, and I always, you know, I have my own marketing budget, my own marketing plan for my business, and I've helped other businesses set that up as well. But you know, for you. So first of all, my first question is, which one comes first? Do you set the budget or do you set the plan first?
Plan, always. You want to know what you're going to do before you start sending money. So you want to plan.
And where that comes in is knowing that it's further than that, because you got to know where you want to go, right? Because you can't just set a plan for, you know, we're going to buy and sell as many properties as we can this year. No, you need to have a goal for how many you're going to do, because you're going to reverse engineer that. So then you're able to set the budget for what marketing you're going to spend on that plan, right? So let's go deep into that. So what goes through your mind? What are the things that need to happen when you're creating that plan, and then transition that conversation into the budget? Because that's important too. So
absolutely, 100%. So I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. Less is more. I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. And I am trying to bring that into my life more and more. Less is more.
Less
you
is
don't
more.
Need all this stuff, especially information. So guys, there's two ways to plan your marketing. And I describe this in my book a ton, but I like to break it down into two ways, right? Hunting or fishing. You can go hunt for deals or you can fish for deals. So when you go hunting, you know, it's try to chase two rabbits, right? You're not going to catch either one. So when you're hunting, you're looking for one-off things. And what does hunting look like? It's cold calling, it's door knocking, it's networking, it's doing things that you're trading your time for typically. Yeah, there may be some
chasing the leads.
You're chasing the leads, right? So you're essentially trading your time. Yeah, there may be some money spent there, but essentially it's a budget of time. So we talked about a plan and a budget. A budget doesn't always have to necessarily be monetary, right? You can have a time allocated budget too. Mm-hmm. So that's hunting in a nutshell. And there's lots of other things you can do when you're hunting. Fishing on the other case, you know, I could bring 30 fishing poles to the lake with me. I don't have to just have one. I can cast it in the water with a bobber and stick it in the ground and walk away and do that 300 more times if I had enough fishing poles. Yeah. Well, that's the same scenario that you can look at it when you're doing online marketing or you are doing, you know, direct mail or AdWords or, you know, anything else that essentially you are buying space to get your message out in front of somebody else. Now, I'm lazy. You can kind of tell because I'm a little overweight. Been working on that lately, trying to lose a couple pounds. But I'm a lazy human. I'm not afraid to say that. So I prefer to have a bigger budget for my fishing, which means a bigger monetary budget than I want to allocate in my hunting budget, right? Like, sure. I don't want to necessarily have a lot of time allocated because I'd rather have the money helping me do it. So there's two ways to go about this, guys, hunting or fishing. And you have to have a budget for both. One is going to be time. One is going to be money. It's going to be capital or money, right? Mm-hmm. So we obviously do both in my business. So let's talk about what we do in our business to find motivated sellers. We do direct mail. We do AdWords through our website. We do cold calling and cold texting. I no longer do RVMs. I did that for a little while. I didn't do much of it, but it's kind of an unethical way of marketing. So I've kind of gotten away from doing the RVMs. Mm-hmm. We do a ton of networking. We do bandit signs occasionally. And again, I have people that do that for me. So I'm not out there doing that anymore. What else are we doing? We do some on and off Facebook marketing. The majority of our leads, and then I'm on the radio as well. The majority of our leads come from either the radio, cold calling, or cold texting as of today, but they kind of come in waves. All marketing works. It's just about being consistent with that marketing. So that's the plan. You know, figure out what you want to do. Get good at one or two of these things before you try to do seven.
Yes.
That's very, very, very important.
Thank you.
You know, so like when I first started out, I was doing direct mail.
Yeah.
And I did that for 6 or 8 months before I decided to do anything else. Mm-hmm. I was actually cold calling and doing direct mail, but cold calling was a time allocated budget, whereas my mail was my monetary allocation. So it's a little different, right?
Right.
But essentially, I got good at it. I got a big flow of leads. And I couldn't keep up. So I hired a virtual assistant to help. And as of today, I have 3 virtual assistants. So basically, once I got really good at one source of marketing, I would say, all right, cool. This is somewhat on autopilot, or I don't have to be as active in it anymore. Let's put it on autopilot and let's start another one. And that's where we've gotten to the point where we can scale our marketing up. And we've actually scaled back a little bit. At our peak, we were spending about $15,000 to $16,000 a month. We did that consistently for over a year. Right now, I've scaled that back to maybe half. We're probably at about $6,000 or $8,000 a month. But we've gotten more efficient at the things that we're doing. So we're actually getting just as many leads as we were because we've kind of fine-tuned it.
Okay, so let me pause you on that one. I would like for you to tell, if you're willing to share why you did cut that budget, and you even mentioned that you're still efficient, you're bringing in just as many leads. But what made you like think about that? What made you think about cutting that budget? Was because you weren't getting results from the other marketing channels, or what was going through your mind? What made you make that decision to cut the budget and then go hard after these other ones that
maybe aren't working? So really it was a decision of efficiency, not cost so much. Mm-hmm. And we started looking at our KPIs and we started looking at our numbers. And I'm not the best with KPIs. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm the KPI king. But we're getting better, and we're trying to become more and more aware of, you know, what's being spent, what's coming in, and where the profits lie.
Yeah.
And we started kind of running numbers, and we noticed that the average deal was taking us 4 to 5 months average. Now, that doesn't mean that 3 deals won't come in this month that we'll get a contract on within a day or two and sure. sold within a week, right?
Sure.
But if you average out over the last 4.5 to 5 years, you know, because sometimes we will have a deal that closes 3 years later from the initial contact. And when you average all that out, it's about 4 to 5 months for us. So we just decided, hey, you know, we really need to focus a lot more on the follow-up and the engagement with the leads that are in our system. And a lot of the times, you know, more leads isn't necessarily a good thing if you can't give those leads the attention they need, especially if you're spending – time or money, right? Absolutely. Either to yep. generate those leads. So the number of leads maybe has decreased a little bit, but the conversion on the existing is still the same. So maybe that was it came off a little.
That's
a little
what gray matters. In the
beginning, but yeah. that's what matters, right? So we've just kind of said, you know what? It's okay that the average deal takes 4.5 months. We have like 6,500 leads in our yeah. pipeline right now, yeah. and we're still adding to that, of course, but we are focused. We're not letting our tasks get a month behind, put it that
right.
way. We're basically making sure that we are within 2 or 3 days of completing all the tasks that come every day. We yeah. be within 2 or 3 days. So, you know, and that's going to come and go in waves, of course, but, you know, whenever we were doing our marketing at, you know, 15, 16 grand, it wasn't uncommon that we were working on our tasks in our CRM that were 3 weeks old. And that's, you know, it's better to work a task that's old than not work it at all, right? Obvious. That goes without right. saying. Right. But if you can be more consistent with your follow-up, you don't need to spend as much on your new leads, you know, moving on, going forward. So
yeah.
I think that was one shift. Another shift that we have done recently, Josh, and I think you will agree with this. I hope you'll agree with this. Is so we talked about the two different types of a plan, right? You have a monetary budget, you have a time budget, so you're hunting and fishing. But there's actually two different types of marketing itself, and it's list-based marketing or there's non-list-based marketing. And, you know, real estate is getting more and more competitive every day because there's a lot of money to be made in real estate and everyone's sharing online how they're making money and they're offering coaching programs. And that's great. It doesn't bother me. I'm not scared by any means, but more and more people are getting into real estate investing and people are buying the same lists, right? It's not that RVMs aren't working or direct mail isn't working as well as it did. Right. What the problem that I see is that everyone's using the same leads.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we've done recently is go a little bit. We still do direct mail, guys. We still do cold calling. We still do the cold texting, which is actually my number one preferred method of getting leads right now. But what we have done, too, is we've kind of segregated ourselves away from the list based marketing and we've moved to the radio. And the radio has been very, very helpful because, you know, people that are on a list are getting tons of cold calls, tons of mail from tons of investors.
And the messaging all is the same.
The messaging is all the same. So to me, it's not the way in which your marketing is becoming overdone. It's the lists are being oversold.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and it's not necessarily a 100%. Problem. It just is what it is, right? So another way that we've been able to increase conversions while simultaneously decreasing spin. I'm thinking, I'm a pilot, so I'm thinking of flaps, right? A flaps on an airplane allow you to increase your angle of descent. Think about this for a second, without increasing your airspeed.
Yeah.
If without flaps and you point down, you're gonna increase your angle or your descent, but you're also gonna speed up. Mm-hmm. Gravity's pulling your ass down. So flaps are designed to increase your angle of descent without increasing your airspeed. And that's essentially what we did in our business is we deployed flaps. We said, let's decrease the spin, but let's keep the conversions where they're at or even increase them. So what we did is we went to the radio, and the radio is not cheap by any means, but we found that we are getting tons of good leads on there from people that aren't on all these lists, right? And that's really helped us as well, Josh. So I highly encourage people to explore non-list based marketing, especially in the current time. I mean, it doesn't really matter what day and month it is, but I will say that, you know, we're in 2020. So if you're listening to this in 2026, I mean, things could change, right?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
But today in our market, everyone is wanting to get into real estate, which I think is phenomenal. I encourage people to, but you just have a lot of people buying the same list. So
yeah,
non-list marketing has become a big thing in our business, in my business, and it has helped us keep the conversions up while keeping the costs down.
I tell you what, I'm glad that you went in that direction. So we had this conversation on the podcast with Josh Hines a few weeks ago out of Baltimore, talking about people using the same resources, the same tools, the same lists in a market and how to segment out of that. We went in a different direction with that, but what David's saying basically here, guys, is like the list, the companies that issue these lists, that you get the lists from, they don't care if 40 people have the same list in the same market. They're just selling lists.
Right. And nothing wrong with ListSource or PropStream. I use both of them, guys. All right. And I use them daily. Okay. Yeah. But I'm not saying, and Josh, I'm agreeing. This is my point.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get paid to not sell the list.
All right.
Like, exclusivity is not their game.
Yeah.
Their game is data. So if I buy a vacant list in 63131, that's the zip code I live in, and Josh goes and he can buy that same list, right? I'm also not saying that buying that list and sending that mail to that list is not going to get you deals. It will.
Right.
But it's becoming harder and harder because those lists are not specific. So just – and again
– you know,
Do marketing versus not do marketing, I'd always go do marketing.
Absolutely.
Right? You got to.
That's but your conversation, you're talking about being more efficient. And that's correct. like that. That's what I think people need to think about. Like, absolutely. Do marketing versus not do marketing, not even a question.
Do something versus nothing, right? No matter what. Buy the list and send them mail.
Right.
If you are going to, if the other option is to not.
Right.
But if you have another option that's more efficient, then do that, you know, do that of course as well. So
absolutely.
You got to look at the big picture here. I'm not suggesting to not do marketing 100%. Or send mail. I still send mail. But what I have done recently, Josh, is to move more towards the non-list types of marketing just because of the fact that, you know, you're not going to have as many people, you know, trying to touch and reach those individuals. And I get people that hear the radio ad and they have a stack of letters on their table already. Some of those letters might even be from me.
Right.
But they're just like, man, I liked your ad. You sound like a good guy on the radio. I want to do business with you. They never met me. They just hear my voice. It's just a little bit different type of a method, you know, than others.
So. And what's funny is too, I remember you actually talking about that at the Inner Circle, the first place that we met in San Antonio, and you played your ad over the speakers for everybody so that they could hear it. And I just remember people like, you're running radio ads still? Like, they're just like curious about it. So sometimes it's like, I feel like a lot of times, you know, especially in the digital age of marketing and the directions that we're going, you know, if somebody's going in one direction and they're doing, you know, RVMs, they're doing texting, cold calling and direct mail and all that kind of stuff, sometimes they forget about the old ways of marketing. So people, I don't hardly ever hear people talking about putting out bandit signs anymore. And when I was a marketing director for the company I was working with, the wholesaling company in the Midwest, we were putting out 500 bandit signs a week. and that was working and nobody else was doing it. So it's like, you know, if
yeah, so,
you go back, so, like radio, something that kind of died off and now it can pick back up. But I mean, like, there's still people listening to the radio, especially in the demographic that you're buying from, would be 45 to 60 years old. I mean, they listen to the radio. They don't know what Spotify is. They don't know
that's,
what
that's
Apple,
the thing, Josh. That's the thing. Know? So me and you don't probably ever, like, I never listen to the radio.
Oh, hell no. I want to listen to what I want to listen to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. But you got to think.
But I'm not selling a distressed house.
Most people don't have, you know, the technology and the services to do the things that we're doing. Let's just be real. Most people are living check to check and they're not driving a brand new car. They listen to the radio because it's free. You know, it's not going to work forever. That's why I said, if you're listening to this in 2026, you may be laughing at me right now.
Yeah.
But today in 2020, it has a very, very good return on its investment.
Absolutely.
I don't listen to the radio, but a lot of people do. And as you stated earlier, the people that I'm looking for that, and I market on typically talk radio, news, conservative, some country. You know, I stay away from the hip hop or the rap just because the people that I'm looking to do business with listen to those particular stations, right?
Yep.
It doesn't matter what color you are or what age you are. They just typically fall in that category. It's working very well for us, though.
It's all about knowing your demographic, knowing who your audience is better than they do. And that's like, oh, so key. Hey, we're going to get you on the show again to talk about that because we got to wind this down, brother.
We saw a half hour
and we went like 45 minutes, but man, this was
that's all right. Sometimes
so many good conversations.
Fun, you go long, man. That's
cool. Dude, I appreciate you sharing everything that you have. I mean, like I said, I'm definitely going to have you back again soon to talk about some more of this stuff, but great conversations. Thank you for sharing everything you have. I do want to give you the opportunity to be able to talk about some of the stuff you got going on. I know you've got the podcast, so the Discounted Properties.
I'll do it quick, man. I'll do it real quick. So I have a podcast as well. It's called Discount Property Investor. It's all things real estate. We really emphasize on wholesaling because that's kind of where it all starts, in my opinion. It is a job. I get it. But you learn so many valuable skills as a wholesaler about comping properties, determining repairs that will help you later if you do want to fix and flip or be a landlord. So I just suggest everybody start there. Also, if you can get deals direct from a seller versus buying it from another wholesaler, you're going to be in a better situation. So the podcast is Discount Property Investor. And then I have two other things that, if you don't mind, I'd love to just
share. Absolutely, share, please.
I wrote a book. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Wholesaling Real Estate.
Can you show that real quick?
Yeah. It's available on Amazon. And my partner Mike and I wrote this. It's everything that we do in our business, all the marketing, all the follow-up, all of the negotiating, all of the repairs, the comps. I mean, you name it, anything that I do is in this book. We didn't hold anything back. And then the book itself has a companion course, and it's a free course. So if you guys are interested in learning a little bit more about wholesaling, I have built a free course. We've had, I want to say, over 10,000, maybe close to 11,000 people take the free course at this point, Josh.
Awesome.
And have nothing but great feedback. Cool. And the URL for the course is very simple. I'll say it once because I won't need to repeat it.
Yep.
It's freewholesalecourse.com.
Awesome. That's a good domain. Dang.
Yeah.
That's a really good domain.
Yeah. Freewholesalecourse.com. So that's it, guys. Yeah. Check it out. And you know, the book isn't so much of a profit center for me. Obviously I don't charge for my course. You know, we have it very, very competitively priced, and really, you know, we've learned a lot over the last 5 years and we just love helping people. So
absolutely.
You know, if you guys are interested in learning about wholesaling, check it out.
Yeah. And guys, as always, everything that he mentioned there will be linked in the description below. Also, make sure to go give him a follow on Instagram because we got to get David over to 100,000 followers, not 90.
I know, man. That's the goal this week.
We got to make it happen. So guys, make sure you check out all the descriptions below. Pick up the book, get on the course, listen to his podcast and everything. And that'd be awesome. So David, dude, I'm going to have you back again soon, man. Thank you so much for sharing everything that you did. and we'll get you back, man.
Yeah, I'm ready, man. Josh, thanks for having me. I'm grateful for your time, and I appreciate you coming on or having me on today. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode of the REI Marketing Weekly. Thank you so much for listening in, and make sure that you do check out REI.video, brand new platform that just launched actually this week in March. So REI.video, where you can actually film your own videos with your phone, camera, whatever, and then you can actually submit that video, that raw footage, over to that platform. We'll do the heavy lifting for you, do all the editing, closed captions, all that kind of stuff, and then send it back to you in 48 hours, unlimited revisions, so you get exactly what you're looking for. At checkout, use coupon code FIRSTVID. You'll get 50% off your first order there. So, man, make it happen. Just do it. REI.video. Check it out, guys. That's going to do it for today's episode. I'll see you guys in the next one. Take it easy.